हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, then we have the Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 4 Adhikarana 2. The Lord's actions are without hatred or prejudice. Page 36. O King, but for the mercy of the excellent Lord, who is the witness, there is no cause for the Lord's appearance or activities. Even the actions of the Lord in the form of Purusha in relation to Maya for creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe are his mercy alone. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada. Materialistic men sometimes ask why God has created the material world for the suffering of the living entities. The material creation is certainly meant for the suffering of the conditioned souls, who are part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 15:7. The living entities in this world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. All the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are as good as the Lord qualitatively. But quantitatively, there is a great difference between them. For the Lord is unlimited where the living entities are limited. Thus, the Lord possesses unlimited potency for pleasure, and the living entities have a limited pleasure potency. Ananda Mayo Vyasad, Vedanta Sutra 1.2.12. Both the Lord and the living entity, being qualitatively spirit-soul, have the tendency for peaceful enjoyment. But when the part of the personality of Godhead unfortunately wants to enjoy independently without Krishna, he is put into the material world, where he begins his life as Brahma and is gradually degraded to the status of an ant or a worm in a stool. Therefore, the verse says, Anugrahas tan nirveda nivritehe, indicating that the false life of repeated birth and death must be stopped and the conditioned soul must be educated. This is the purpose of the creation. Creation does not arise whimsically as atheistic men think. Asatyam apatishtam te jagad ahur anishvaram. Aparaspara sambhutam kim anyat kama haitukam. They say that this world is unreal and that there's no foundation and that there's no God in control. It is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Bhagavad Gita 16:8. Atheistic rascals think that there is no God and that the creation has taken place by chance. Just as a man and woman meet by chance and the woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a child. Actually, however, this is not the fact. The fact is that there's a purpose for this creation, to give the conditioned soul a chance to return to its original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and then return home back to Godhead and be completely happy in the spiritual world. In the material world, the conditioned soul is given a chance to satisfy his senses, but at the same time, he's informed by Vedic knowledge that this material world is not his actual place for happiness. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam. Bhagavad Gita 13:9. One must stop the repetition of birth and death. Every human being, therefore, should take advantage of this creation by understanding Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, and in this way return home back to Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 9:24, 58 purport. According to Sukadeva's words, at the end of the ninth canto, at the time of Pralaya, because of the impossibility of dharma for the jivas, who have upadis, have been enjoyed. Destroyed, excuse me. Creating upadis and dharma at the end, at the start of a new creation, are the Lord's mercy. This is the explanation of Sridhar Swami. So the Lord, by his mercy, has created the material world so that we have an opportunity to go back to Godhead. Right? Because otherwise, if we try to enjoy separately from Krishna, we can never actually be happy. And so Krishna gives us an opportunity to come back to the standard consciousness. So if you try to enjoy things without Krishna, it won't work. It's like saying you're going to enjoy the toaster without plugging it in, or your computer without plugging it in. Of course, you can do things, you can push buttons, you can move things up and down, you can put it in different positions, you can open and close the lid a little bit, you know, like that. You can make a noise when you close the lid. You can close it softly, you can close it hard. You know, I mean, you can do all kinds of things. You can turn it upside down, you can put it on its edge. You know, so there's a lot of things you can do with it, but it's only when it's plugged in that it actually works. So the same way as a living entity can't get happiness, because unless they're connected with the Lord, then where is that energy going to come from? Because their energy is limited. Their energy of happiness is limited. So therefore, since they take advantage of the material energy, since it is dead matter, it can't satisfy. Because even you get the dead matter you want, it's still dead matter. What is it going to do to satisfy it? So the only thing is the Lord's, so his, by his mercy, he's entered the creation and gives everything in the creation its sense of value. And so then we have to understand that value is coming from Krishna. It's not coming from the item. But because we don't see that, we just see the item. Then after a while, you just have the external item itself. But it's actually the potency that Krishna has put into it that makes it a value. Nothing else, right? So that's why then, and so it's the Lord's mercy. And then you have the upadis by your particular interests and all that, but that Krishna gives you those upadis, because at the end of creation, they're destroyed. And so then at the beginning of creation, then Krishna gives the opportunity for these upadis to be again manifest, right? And then the dharma means the upadis have a nature, and then you follow that nature, you get a result. You know, just like you follow a recipe and get a result. So let's say if I get ingredients for one recipe, and I use a completely different recipe to try to put things together, it'll never work. So the ingredients and the recipe that goes with those ingredients, that's then what has to be done. That has to be understood. So foolish persons will think, or foolish mentality will think that, no, I can do whatever I want, right? Because our original anxiety is to be independent. And so therefore we think we can be independent of the laws of nature, but you can't. You know, the modes work in a particular way. Certain things are under certain modes. They only function in certain capacities, not beyond that. So to try to think that, no, I will do everything on my own, it won't work. So that you even have the opportunity to work, even though we're rebelling against the Lord, it's still the Lord's mercy that we're given the chance to rebel and the facilities. It is also said, you are the predominating Lord of the universe and have descended into this world with your personal power to protect the saintly and suppress the wicked. We cannot understand, O Lord, how anyone can transgress your law. Others receive karma for their actions. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:70-27. In this verse, the kings imprisoned by Jarasandha pray to the Lord. Though you appear in this world to protect the righteous, we are suffering. Others like Jarasandha have disobeyed your order. However, people protected by you experience suffering from the karma. We do not understand this. Both situations, Jarasandha living and the king suffering, are improper. The Lord's pastimes are independent. Maya, who performs the impossible, causes awakening of karmas for the devatas and demons. It is seen in the world that jivas, acting individually by their karmas, perform actions with good or bad indications under Maya's influence. But sometimes, where Maya with her karma cannot follow the speed of his pastimes, the independence of the Lord becomes evident. Right? So in other words, Jarasandha is acting badly, but he's alive and so-called enjoying, you know, in his mind. And at the same time, then we see is the kings, they're surrendered to the Lord, they're suffering. So then, as a normal thing, Maya would be taking care of these things. But we see is that Krishna's, how you say, his pastimes are moving such that she can't arrange these things. So Krishna, by his own potency, then he takes care of all these. That's why then it works in a special way. It's not working by karma. And it's Krishna's mercy, because then you see it comes out. Because we're going to talk about the story of Jarasandha. And we're going to talk about how the kings are freed. They were in a difficulty. So we, in our positions, by our conditioning, there's going to be certain enjoyments and suffering. So how that's all connected to Krishna, and how therefore we can relate everything to Krishna, then everything becomes very nice to think about and discuss. But if it's just everything always is nice and that, then where's the variety? That's the whole point, is that in the material world, happiness and distress are both miserable. And in the spiritual world, the happiness and so-called distress are both ecstatic. So that's the point. Suffering the bondage of his past activity, my spiritual master's son was brought here to you. O great king, obey my command and bring this boy to me without delay. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45-45. The Lord gives orders to Yamaraj in charge of karma. Because the Lord rarely speaks in this way, it is not a rule that karmas are not duly experienced and the non-karmic results are given. So it's just the Lord's path, how he thinks it should go. So generally he likes to follow all these things. Otherwise, what's the point? If all the karmas are there and no one follows them, then what's the benefit? But you know, that gives the variety. So Krishna goes along with it. But the point is anything that you connect to Krishna, then it becomes perfect. So that's the perfection, is connection to Krishna, not in the work. See, as if it's just on the good work as we would like to think it is. But that's how we got ourselves here. Oh, I can do this work, get this result, and enjoy it. So I'm thinking my enjoyment is going to come from endeavor and results. So even though, yes, those activities that can bring you closer to Krishna are good karma, those which will take you away are bad karma, you know, or there's some element within it, maybe a principle. The principle will be there, then it makes it pious. But sometimes the detail is not useful for, you know, somebody seriously aspiring in Krishna consciousness. And so then, But the difficulty comes up as we think it's my endeavor that makes it work, right? No, it's your attraction to Krishna and doing everything in connection with Krishna that makes things work. So therefore, since we won't directly serve Krishna, indirectly we're serving in the way of, you know, we like a material object and there's some quality of it that we appreciate. So we're worshiping Krishna in that form of that quality, though we're attributing the quality to the object itself. We're not understanding. No, Krishna is giving that object the quality, and he is the potency of that quality. So everybody's worshiping the Lord, but some know it, some don't. So that's why then, if that's perceived, then even they're moving in the world, we see the pure devotees, they're able to see Krishna in everything and everywhere. You know, at all times, places, and circumstances. So that's then how they know, you know, it means how they're functioning. The karmis, they're seeing the same thing, but without Krishna. They're just seeing opportunities for sense enjoyment, while the devotees are seeing opportunities for service. So we think that endeavor gets results that we can enjoy. So as long as we're taking those results and offering to Krishna, then it becomes Krishna conscious. We become engaged in Krishna's service, right? But the difficulty will come is as long as we're thinking it's the activity itself that is generating my good fortune. When actually, no, it's pleasing Krishna and generating your good fortune. So that's an important aspect. If some persons hate the devotees, the Lord has no fault of being partial to the devotees if the Lord hates those persons. Rather, this is a special type of bliss arising from the Ladi function, since it nourishes the Lord's Rati for the devotee. That hatred takes the form of placing the demons in the desert of impersonal liberation, which is devoid of bhakti ras, that is endowed of variety and ever-increasing intense bliss at every moment. This liberation is the complete opposite of the Lord's bhakti rasa. Since their hatred is difficult to cure, this condition is suitable for them. By the power of the Lord revealed in this situation, by the disappearance of the Lord's Sarup Shakti, this condition of liberation is almost indestructible. All right, so the internal potency is not there, right? And so then it's an indestructible situation. And so you see, unless they've been killed by the Lord, they may later remember the Lord. But the point is, the position itself will always remain. They may move on, but the Brahman still stays there, and others will come along and absorb themselves in Brahman. But this is intolerable for the devotees, since the devotees value service to the Lord. So they're not interested in just being freed from material entanglement. Devotees solely engaged in the service of Narayana never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. Because if it's not connected to Krishna, what's the point? And if it's connected to Krishna, then it's not the situation, it's the connection to Krishna. Right? What makes things work? You know, if we have machine, it's the electricity. No electricity, they don't work. So it's not that the machine itself is what's causing everything to happen. So we're taking it, no, the machine is causing this. No, it's because of the electricity. That's what it is. So electricity is causing your toast to toast. You know, electricity is causing your fan to work or your heater to heat. Like that. It's not the fan. That may be the medium through which it's expressed. You know, and that's the law of Krishna that is there. It's like the toaster, you can't hang the toaster from the ceiling and plug it in and expect you're going to get a nice cool breeze. You know, or you can't put your fan on your countertop and then plug it in and then think you're going to get some nice toast. Right, so Krishna's laws is this activity gets this result, and we're basically okay with that, but we want the result for ourselves. So here is that its connection to Krishna, that's the only thing of value. Because the other things by variety are going to change, but what the constant is going to be that rati or that attraction to Krishna. Though the Lord gives special punishment, though undesired, to persons full of material desires, he also destroys our unlimited suffering and samsara, composed of irrepressible desires, because his nature and actions are ultimately for the benefit of all beings. The Lord gives the hell of impersonal liberation to those who know something of spiritual existence and are worshippers of non-difference, and he gives a special swarga, impure like a place with stool worms, to those with material desires. Right, so both of them are, none of them are nice. Because we think if I get the results of my action, I'll be happy, right? It's not that the thing makes you happy. It's the idea that I get that, I'll be happy. And when I get it for that moment, oh, I'm happy because I got it. But then if the thing itself makes you so ecstatic, why is it the next day it's not making you that ecstatic? Or after a week or a month or a year? No. So it has nothing to do with the thing. It's the mind. When I get this, I'll be happy. And yes, at that moment you get it, you show symptoms of happiness. But then after that, then you don't have those. Thus the wives of Kaliya say, you are so impartial that you look equally upon your enemies and your own sons. For when you impose a punishment, it is praiseworthy. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:16:33, Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In praising Krishna, the wives of Kaliya began by first agreeing with his punishment in order to appease the anger of Krishna. Quote, one must certainly bear responsibility for one's own wicked deeds in the forms of violence to the innocent and devoted. You protect the good and punish the wicked, but in that you do not show any partiality. Thus you treat the sons of your enemy and your own sons equally. The word api here indicates cha and and your own sons. Though Hiranyakashipu was your enemy, you protected his son Prahlad. Though Narakasura was your own son, you killed him. And though you punish the wicked, you hold not animosity towards them. You punish them thinking, Phalam Anu Samsan, that after relieving them of their wicked nature by hellish suffering, you will reward them with the eternal happiness of liberation. You give results such that punishment is also praiseworthy. The Lord gave the destination reserved for pure devotees to Putana in order to glorify imitating the devotees. Right, so even if you're just doing what the devotees do, you're going along, you don't know anything, you meet the devotees, they're in the street, they're chanting, they're dancing, you go over and maybe you sing a bit or dance a bit, you're just imitating them. You're not doing that because, yes, this is the holy name, Golokera Premadan, Hari Nama Sankirtan, this is a Yuga Dharma, so I'm taking part in this. You don't know, you're just imitating. They're doing, you're doing. You know? So, but from that, even then, you still get to glorify even that aspect. We see Putana, though she imitated the position of mother for Krishna, she got the benefit. So that's the thing. That person comes along and they get benefit. So that's the whole idea, is the material world is meant for giving the opportunities that you can come in contact with Krishna consciousness. So without Krishna consciousness, basically it's all useless. So its use is that then it has aspects that are, you know, from the positive that they can be engaged in the Lord's service, or they're neutral so that there can be a support for, or they're opposed to, and therefore then being involved in them, you suffer. Sad Veshad Iva Putanapi Sakula. You awarded yourself even to Putana and her family members, because she wore the disguise of a nurse. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:35. There were some devotees who somehow offend other devotees. By that offense, they experienced the fire of hatred to the Lord and his devotees. Then, after a long time, attained the Lord's feet after having their offense to the Lord's devotees destroyed by the soft touch of the Lord. They do not obtain impersonal liberation, since the seed of their bhakti is indestructible. The anger of the Lord is like that of a mother towards the children. In this way, everything is adjusted. Thus Parikit says, O Brahma, how did the Lord, the best friend of all living beings, who is equal and affectionate to all beings, kill the demons for Indra as if partial? Srimad Bhagavatam 7:1:1. The Lord, the object of affection, Priya, is equal Sama as Paramatma, and a benefactor, Suhrit. If all beings are equally objects of affection for the Lord, how does he kill demons as if being partial, not having everyone as an object of affection? His inequality represents other contrary qualities as well. Some who are not friendly, he treats as friends. Vriti. Having explained that the Lord's actions are without hatred or prejudice, this is further elucidated in the next few Anuchedas by citing the discussion between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikit Maharaj, where the king asks, why does the Lord kill the demons for the sake of Indra as if partial, even though he has nothing to gain from the devatas and nothing to fear or envy? Nothing to fear or envy the demons. Anucheda 94. One who shows favoritism towards those who help one achieve one's goals. Oh, one shows favoritism towards those who help one achieve one's goals. One kills those whom he fears. These propensities do not exist in the Lord. The Lord, who has a form of pure bliss, has nothing to gain from siding with the devatas. And the Lord, because he is without material qualities, cannot have hatred or fear of the demons. 7:1:2, Udriti. Srila Prabhupada, we should always remember the distinction between spiritual and material. That which is material is infected by material qualities, but these qualities cannot touch that which is spiritual or transcendental. Krishna is absolute, whether he is in the material world or spiritual world. When we see partiality in Krishna, this vision is due to his external energy. Otherwise, how could his enemies attain salvation after being killed by him? Everyone who deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead gradually acquires the qualities of the Lord. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the less he is affected by the duality of material qualities. The Supreme Lord, therefore, must certainly be free from these qualities. His enmity and friendship are external features presented by the material energy. He is always transcendental. He is absolute, whether he kills or bestows his favor. So to think that something is enmity and something is friendship, these are just external features of the material energy, because that's not what's happening. He's just interacting with everyone according to their position, how they see him, how they interact with him, what they value, and how they therefore endeavor. That's all. But the material makes it, oh, he favors this one, he's not favorable to that one. So these kind of ideas come up based on that position. Nishreyasa means the highest bliss. 108 and 95. A greatly fortunate sage, you should dispel this great doubt I have concerning the favoritism and ill will of Narayana. Srimad Bhagavatam 713. Gunan means showing mercy to some and punishing others. Dispel the doubt concerning these actions of the Lord. Riti. Before answering the queries of Maharaj Parikit, Sugadev first lauds him for asking questions related to the activities of the Lord, since discussion on such activities enhance one's love for the Supreme Lord. You had something?
Maharaj, we actually missed a paragraph in the Prabhupada's purport. The second paragraph. Envy and friendship arise in one who is imperfect.
Oh. Okay. Envy and friendship arise in one who is imperfect. We fear our enemies because in the material world we are always in need of help. The Lord, however, does not need anyone's help. For he is Atmarama. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, right? So you fear someone because they're the ones that can get in the way of you attaining what you want. And then you're partial towards those who, by their actions, that brings you closer to your goals. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, if a devotee offers me with devotion a little leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I shall accept it. Why does the Lord say this? Is he dependent on the offering of the devotee? He is not actually dependent, but he likes to be dependent on his devotees. This is his mercy. Similarly, he does not fear the asuras. Thus, there is no question of partiality in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He likes to be just because of that the taste of the interaction. And with the demons, then he just deals with them as he does. So therefore, those who are negative, he'll deal in that neutral way. For those who are positive, means the principle of it is neutral, but he takes pleasure in that. You know, like we said, the principle is as you surrender, he reciprocates. You surrender in a positive way, he interacts positive. You surrender, you're dealing with him in a negative way, he reciprocates in that negative. Anucheta 96. Sarupriṣṭam Maharaja Haresh Charitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhavad Bhakti Vardhanam. O great king, you have asked the correct question. Those activities are astonishing, increase bhakti and glorify the devotees. Sugadev speaks, O king, what you have asked, you have considered thoughtfully, sadhu, but the activities of the Lord are extraordinary, adbhutam. They are subject to deliberation. For, though the Lord is equal to all, he appears to be unequal. In those activities, yet there is increase of bhakti for the Lord and glorification of devotees, such as Prahlada. The Lord does not the Lord does everything for these devotees and not for others. This will become apparent in the story. In the commentary, Sri Goswami says, quote, I offer respects to astonishing Nrisimha, the form of the highest bliss, who killed the enemy, showing favor to his devotee. Anusheda 97. This topic, you know, so that's why it's a praise, because we may do that because we're going to assist those who are supporting us, and we're going to try to remove those who are giving us distress. But we see here is the Lord is not in that position. So his doing those things is just out of his pastimes. Anucheta 97. This topic, giving the highest piety, is sung by sages like Narada. Offering respects to Vyasa, I will speak about the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 715. I will speak about this topic, which, yat, is sung by sages like Narada, giving the highest merit. The pronoun yat is understood. It is suggested here that the sages sing this topic to give happiness to the devotees. Riti. In reply to Parikit Maharaj's queries, Sukadeva Goswami first states that the activities of the Lord are enacted in the state of pure goodness, which is beyond the influence of the three modes, and the purpose of his pastimes is only to shower mercy upon his devotees. Thus, the Lord shouldn't be judged from the mundane perspective by imposing material qualities on him. Right, so the problem comes up as the material perspective, like we see in so many of these other, all the other doubts are coming up because of our material perspective. On the spiritual platform, they would never come up. They come up on the material platform because we have the aspect of duality. We're creating this and saying the Lord is dual, but he's non-dual. So therefore, his favoring the devotees and chastising the demons, then is actually one thing. It's simply his mercy upon them, that they're all engaged according to their nature. You just have to know how to look, how to see it in context of the Lord. Anucheta 98. He answers the question according to Parikit's intended meaning. Nirgunopi yajo vyakto bhagavan prakrite param para swamaya gunam avishya Badhya ba dhakartam gataha. Though the Lord is without material qualities, unborn, unmanifested, and superior to matter, taking support of his pastimes which give mercy to his devotees, he arranges for defeat or victory. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada. So-called attachment, detachment and obligations pertain to the material nature, which is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whenever the Lord descends and acts in this world, he does so in his spiritual position. Although his activities materially appear different, spiritually they are absolute and non-different. Thus, it is an imposition upon the Supreme Lord to say that he is envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. Bhagavad Gita 9:11, the Lord clearly says, Abhajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashitam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Krishna appears on this earth or within this universe without any change in his spiritual body or spiritual qualities. Indeed, he is never influenced by the material qualities. He is always free from such qualities, but he appears to act under material influence. This understanding is aropita, or an imposition, right? So that's always what we do. We take our position of time and space, you know, and starting with ourselves and going out. So what's favorable to me, I'll consider it one way. What's not, I'll consider it another. And then we'll try to apply that or impose that upon the Lord. That's aropia. So we'll say, well, the Lord's doing this. No, you're imposing that. He's not. Therefore, Krishna says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, Bhagavad Gita 4:9. Whatever he does, being always transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. Evam Yo Veditat Pataha. Only devotees can understand the truth of how he acts. The fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone. But because of imperfect vision, influenced by material qualities, one imposes material qualities upon Krishna. And when one does so, he becomes a mudha, a fool. When one can properly understand the truth, one becomes devoted and nirguna, free from material qualities. Simply by understanding the activities of Krishna, one can become transcendental. And as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to the spiritual world. Jyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti surjana. Bhagavad Gita 4:9. One who understands the activities of the Lord in truth is transferred to the spiritual world after he gives up his material body. Since the Lord is beyond Prakriti, he is devoid of material gunas. Thus he is without birth, eternally existing. And thus he is self-manifesting in his body of yakta. He cannot be revealed by others since he does not have material body and senses, right? So someone who has a material body and sense, they can't reveal the Lord because he's beyond that. So they have no control. He is devoid of attraction and repulsion of arising from material gunas. Taking support of a pure sattva state, filled with astonishing pastimes, gunam, which gives mercy, maya, to his devotees, sva. The Lord who eternally manifests his six qualities, Bhagavan, but occasionally appears to be born and become visible to people's eyes in this world, takes shelter of a portion of his power, which he personally distributes for producing his assistance or opposition to devatas and demons who are incompetent and unable to stand in his gaze. He arranges for defeat or victory for them. Bhaya bhadakatam gataha, giving an additional portion of his power to the opponents for creating variety and fighting pastimes. He arranges for defeat of the devatas. Other times he distributes to the opponents less power and the devatas are victorious. Maya means mercy and cheating according to Vishwa Prakasha. Right, so just depending upon the mood and how they're dealing, then you see is that he makes these arrangements. And then you'll see that there'll be something unfolding because the main thing is the absorption in the Lord. So even if the devatas are defeated, but then the point is they will come back again and sit in their place because that's the natural law. But in doing so, because then in the evolvement and the pastime of the Lord, then they become more absorbed in the Lord. Otherwise, they have a tendency to get so distracted by their mundane positions that they may completely forget the Lord. Maya means mercy and cheating according to Vishwa Prakasha. Another meaning can be given to the word Maya, illusion, in this verse. That meaning is rejected because the goal of the topic at the beginning and end is mercy to the devotees. And the whole discussion deals with this. And a great fault would arise when making Maya, illusion, the agent. Therefore, there is no inequality, because the Lord has no hatred or attachment for anyone in performing pastimes only for the pleasure of his devotees. Bhadyatam gataha means he causes oppression or defeat. Thus, by revealing his pastimes, which are the play of his root shakti, benefit results for all people. His quality of friendship to all is not damaged. Right? So that becomes, it's important because as we see is that Prikamaras has asked this question because otherwise we might think, because I'm performing an action and I'm getting a bad result. So I'm performing actions to get a good result and I'm not getting a good result. So therefore, then, you know, Krishna's, you know, acting inconsistently like that. You know, so one person is getting good, you know, this person who I don't appreciate is getting good facility. And this other person who I do appreciate is not getting good facility. So what's going on here? Why is that allowed? Because I don't mind if another person does good work, but he's opposed to my desire, that they get bad results. I'm comfortable with that, right? So therefore, we're looking at it, no, but so those who myself and those who are supportive of what I'm doing, they should always get good results, even if sometimes they do something bad. So we're putting all the emphasis on that results are coming because of my endeavor. So because there's always going to be the point of pastime where there is endeavor, where you're using the facilities of the field with willpower to produce results that are then enjoyed within the interaction, pastime with the Lord, then, but it's not that they're producing it. It's that you're doing that to please the Lord. Otherwise, you see in the material platform, so many people are engaged in the same activities, but because it's not about the Lord, they're not getting any spiritual benefit or spiritual happiness. So it's not the activities themselves. So material world means we use the facilities and activities of the spiritual world for material purposes, it means for ourselves. Well, in the spiritual world, they just use it to serve Krishna. Krishna's energy, they just use everything to please him, that's all. While here, then they're using it to please themselves. So that's the difference between the two. What we're thinking it is the dealing with the activities that is the actual cause. No, it's the connection with the Lord that's the actual cause. So when it's connected to the Lord, the seeming happiness and distress are always giving ecstasy. And if it's not connected to the Lord, then the seeming happiness and distress always ends in misery. You know, so that's just how the things are functioning. And so by our perspective, we're projecting that this is why it's going on. Because we're attached to the idea, I do this work, I'll get this result. But the point is when that work and result are for pleasing Krishna, then that's perfect. But if that work for result is not for pleasing Krishna, right? It's not for pleasing Krishna. Now you have a problem. Does that make sense? Now that becomes a difficulty. Padyatam gata means he causes oppression or defeat. Thus, by revealing his pastimes, which are the play of his Srup Shakti, benefit results for all people. His quality of friendship is not to be damaged. Okay, Vriti. The next Anucheta describes the difference between the Lord's Srup Shakti and the Maya Shakti based on their function. The material modes belong to the Maya Shakti. The material modes belonging to the Maya Shakti can't function together, or they can't increase or decrease simultaneously where the Lord's personal Shakti can resolve all such contradiction, because the Lord is the possessor of inconceivable potencies. Right? Means you have all the modes of nature that is there in the Maya Shakti. So Maya herself can't reconcile all these. That's why you have here, it's this or that. You know, you're for us or you're against us. You know, it's us and them. You don't have these reconciliation. Because the internal potency, that has the potency to reconcile all that. So that inconceivable, that Achintya Shakti can make all these seeming contradictions all work very nicely together. Anucheta 99, samshaya, so the doubt. Why does this pure sattva not become a material guna? When and where does it distribute great power? Why does this not become a case of interfering with karma, right? So we're doing our karma and we're getting bad results. That's why then we're turning towards this, you know, this philosophical kind of considerations. But when we come up that the Lord's independent, then the doubt comes up is that, okay, then, you know, his dealing with these things and them coming out in different ways, then isn't he interfering with karma, right? Because now the problem comes up is because we're attached to the idea that I do the work, I'll get my result. And so I want a particular result, I do a particular work. So if Krishna can interfere with that, then I may not get the results I want. So we're looking at it again from our position, even though we're saying Why does it go like this? Why can't it be different? God should, you know, make it different. Then when you say, yeah, God can, you know, he's independent. Oh, why is he interfering with karma? You know, in other words, it's about our freedom. I want what I want. God should supply that. He shouldn't get in the way of my freedom, even though my freedom is the cause of the misery that I'm trying to get rid of. Right? So you get a problem here is that we're thinking, you know, in other words, where he supports our controlling and enjoying, then he's a good God. And where we see that my control and enjoy might be in any way restricted, then I think, oh, this is bad. Because I'm thinking still from the mundane platform that I operating the particular energy that and I getting certain results, I want to be independent in that. And those results, that will give me happiness. Right? When in actuality, it's serving Krishna. So devotees, when they're not thinking they want to be in a particular situation, they want to be doing a particular service. So that's why the liberation is not actually that interesting to the devotees, because it's just situational. You're on the same planet. You have the same features, same opulence. You happen to be an associate, so you're in the same place. You know, the other one, you're on the same planet. You may not be in the same place. The associates, then they're with the Lord. They're in the same place. But it's situational. If you're not performing service, what's the meaning? Right? Just saying, oh, I want to be an associate of the Lord. Okay, so even you're an associate, you're there. Now what? So for them, the situation, the facilities, the knowledge, the skills, all these things, their only purpose is its ability to be used in Krishna's service. So if somebody wants to meet Krishna, it's only to serve Krishna. Right? So that's the principle, is that people aren't looking at, it's the service and pleasure of Krishna that's the important thing. They're looking at, no, I perform activities with my knowledge and skills in a particular situation. I should be able to get the results that I want. So that's material consciousness. We may be connecting it to Krishna, and when we connect it, we're happy. And when somehow or another doesn't work out, then we become disturbed. But the point is that's not actually what it's all about. It's about developing that attraction to Krishna. That's why then we have a difficulty understanding the difference between Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Raganuga sadhana bhakti. They're both sadhana, so they're both practice. But one is based on the rules and what you should do and results you get. The other is based on the natural desire to please Krishna, right? So when that natural desire to please Krishna is the prominent feature, that's constant, that's called Raganuga. And when that desire to please Krishna is occasional, and especially it's based upon the idea that this is the work you should do and this and that, right? Then that's Vaidhi. Does that make sense? You know, so there's going to come up so many different things based on that, but it's about serving Krishna. That's the essential point. It's about pleasing Krishna through that service that one's trying to obtain. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. Okay. Why does this not become a case of interfering with karma, giving results not deserved or removing results which are deserved? Right? So that's the angle, right? Giving results not deserved means I'm worried about somebody else that doesn't deserve may get results, even though they don't deserve it. And removing results which are deserved, like I deserve this. Why aren't I getting it? I worked hard. I put in the effort. Why aren't I getting this result? Or he didn't put in the effort. You know, he like that. Why is he getting a result? We're not thinking, what if I don't deserve and I get results? Well, we're not complaining about that. I guess a news thing the other day, By accident, some lady, I guess she had an account in the bank or something, and something happened that money for someone else, I think for selling a house or that, went to her, like $1 million or like this and that. And so when they figured it out, then they said she should transfer it back. She didn't want to give it back. Well, it came in my account, it's mine. No, but it's not yours. It was by mistake. No, but it's in my account, so it's mine. No, but it belongs to someone else. Well, if it belongs to them, it should be in their account, but it's in my account, so it's mine. You know, she just got, the point is this, it just will not give up. You know, I deserve this. I've worked hard. You know, everybody else gets a break. Why don't I get the $1 million? So we don't mind that. We don't deserve, but we got. We're happy with it, totally. But if someone else doesn't deserve and got, then we're unhappy with that. Much of the time, we're unhappy that they deserved and they got. You know, why they get? Why shouldn't I get? So this is these are underlying points. The doubts. The doubts. Doubts coming up will always be coming from the material platform, right? And so therefore, to discuss that and arrange that and remove all that, that's the perfection of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or all the Vedic literature, but especially Srimad Bhagavatam, that it removes all doubts that are there about the difference between material and spiritual, because that's real knowledge. Being able to tell this is spiritual, this is material, that's knowledge. Anything else is not. It's ignorance. It may be knowledge within ignorance. You know, just like someone may know very nicely how to, bet on the, on the horse racing and all that, and which ones to use and what kind of patterns are going on and stuff like that. But that, even though that's knowledge and a skill, it's still within ignorance. So it's not considered by the sages an important point. So we have to always understand the knowledge and skill only has value when it's connected to Krishna. That's the only time it has a meaning. And if it's not connected to Krishna, then it's just mechanics that go on, and the potency that makes them work is Krishna anyway. So ignoring Krishna and ignoring these things is not appropriate. Trying to see them separately from my perspective, rather than see them in the context of Krishna's perspective, right? Uttara. Two verses answer these doubts. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas belong to Prakriti and do not influence the Lord. O King, they do not increase or decrease simultaneously. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.7.7. Okay. Yeah, they do not increase or decrease simultaneously. One of them going up means other ones have to be going down. There's always a thing, there's a proportion. So like you see, is like, let's say you do a test for the Ayurveda, then they will ask so many questions. Yeah, 20, 30 questions like this. And so then from that, you give your answer. And then each answer will show that it'll be mucus, it'll be bile or bile, air, you know? And so then accordingly, then the proportion is there. Okay, so many of them were mucus, so many were bile, so many were air. But it's taken out of 100%. So that means for one to go up, something goes down. Right? If vata is 50%, that means that pitta and kapha have to be within 50%. That means they can't be that much. Right? So then whatever they are, so that's the thing, they can't all increase together. There is nothing to reconcile them. The gunas, including sattva, belong to Prakriti, not the Lord. Na atmanaha, it's not his, it's not means the swarup shakti. What he considers his is the swarup shakti. The material gunas are not the gunas which eternally give joy to the Lord, it is said. Material gunas of sattva, rajas, and tamas do not exist in the Lord. May that person, the source of all, purer than the purest, be pleased with me. And you, who are the shelter of all spiritual qualities, exist the energies of Hladini, Sundini, and Sundit. In you, who are devoid of material qualities, the mixture of happiness and distress found in the material world does not exist. Vishnu Purana 1.9.44-45. Since they are not part of him who contains opposites, They cannot decrease or increase simultaneously, but they act according to material principles, right? Means they're though that are part of him, even though they contain opposites, they become perfectly reconciled. But the material qualities, not being part of him, they cannot increase and decrease together in balance. One guna decreases while another increases, surpassing the first guna through transformation. Right? Something transforms and then it becomes the prominent thing. Right? So only if you get each one at 33 and a third, you know, then basically there's a balance. But they can't surpass it. As soon as one goes above that, something else had to go down. Riti, in order to further affirm the point that the Lord is not partial to the demigods, the next Anucheda describes that the demigods attain favor when the mode of goodness is prominent, whereas the demons and Rakshasas attain favor when passion and ignorance are predominant. This may raise a doubt whether the Lord is bound by the time factor to reward the demigods and demons when the respective modes are prominent. However, the Anucheda conclusively establishes that the Lord is fully independent and the time factor follows his axis at all times. So it's the other way around. Time follows him, not the other way around. Thus, the time which influences the gunas is the secondary form, not the direct form which acts for enhancing the devotion of the Lord's devotees towards him. So that aspect is going on by the means, those the pastimes being performed that please the Lord and the devotees, that aspect is being that aspect is going on by the internal potency. And the demons, then that's the time factor is going on in these other aspects. So the demigods, demons, when they're acting in those capacities. So that's just when time is there. So that becomes the prominent. But in this pastimes, it's all about what will be pleasing to the Lord. So time just follows that. And how time can assist that, that's what time is working. You know, just like Krishna's dancing with the gopis. So then time assists by making that time the night of Brahma. Like that. But for us, you know, I say, even though, you know, there's a saying, time flies when you're having a good time, right? No. Like that. So the point is there, it does, but it was a night of Brahma. Still, they felt it was just a moment. Right? Because being with Krishna is always, always the perfection. So when you're with, personally, and interacting personally, then you have that sense of sambhog. And when you're not with Krishna, directly, like in that way, then you feel you're separated, even though everything is Krishna and it's all working under his direction. But still, there's the uniqueness of the person themselves, and then there's the energies expanding. And so then you see is that there's a difference, right? So then that's where these things come from. So on the material platform, you're contacting, the senses are connecting the sense object. The sense is Krishna, the sense object is Krishna, the potency of them is all Krishna. But we identify with it. So when you have the contact, then we feel that the you know, it connects. When the sense doesn't contact the sense object, then that experience is immediately lost. But we're not connecting it with Krishna, so we're not getting the spirit transcendental benefit of the pralamba and the sambho. We just hear is that the senses are engaged or they're not, and so we're either happy because of engaging the senses of the sense objects, or we're lamenting because they're not contacting the sense objects. It still is Krishna, it still works on the same principle, right? But because of our mundane consciousness, then we'll find this to be a fault. Where we pointed out for the devotees, they understand this, then they see everything connected to Krishna, they become an ecstasy. But for the materialistic consideration, then, oh, God's getting in the way of my enjoyment by this thing, you know, this sambhog and the deepa lumba and why these are there and this and that. You know, you don't mind it if it's supporting what you want, right? You know, somebody doesn't get what they want and you want that, you're very happy when they don't. Like they wanted first prize and you got first prize. You're very happy seeing them lament that because you got first prize. You know, what does it mean? You get first prize and you're there and going, yeah. And everybody else is going, meh. You know, they don't care. Would you be happy? There's no celebrations. No one else cares. You know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, they just walk on. You know? So that's the point is that, no, there's the ideas that, you know, these ones are happy. These ones are sad. That it's all about me and all this and that. So that's the difficulty. That's why the material consciousness has to be dealt with on all these levels. And you don't necessarily get into that whole aspect of how he is as Bhagavan. You say is there, and you say all the things, but all these doubts and that, they're all happening down on the platform of the Lord controlling his energies. You know, that's why it's mentioned, yeah, that aspect of Vasudeva. Means the Lord where he's not manifesting his energies. You know, it means the Lord always has his energies. Because that's the difference. Paramatma, you don't see the energies. He's in control of the energies, but you don't really see that he's with his energies. As Bhagavan, then he expands and his internal potency is there. So our answering all doubts happen on that level. So you see here, Paramatma Sundarbha. So all these kinds, you have to clear all these doubts on this level. Because our thing is, how can he do that? This is not just, this is this and that. We're not about, oh, he's enjoying with his devotees and that's wonderful. That's the Bhagavan level. But you know, how is it Krishna's allowing this to happen? You're not working with Bhagavan. We're not approaching Bhagavan. So then he doesn't reciprocate in that way. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay, we're on Anucheta 100, no?
Right. Yes.
It has been shown that it is proper for the Lord to help the devatas and fight with the demons. Although it seems that his pastimes are dependent on the increase of sattva in the world, this idea, after being presented, is rejected. He acts through all gunas. Right, so all the different things are there. The time factor follows the Lord's desire. So if he wants the demigods to win, sattva comes up. He wants the demons to win, then passion and ignorance come up. Right? So whatever he wants, it all goes on through that. So you see in his past in Vrindavan, then you see is there is just the internal potency is working. Because you're not dealing with anything outside of that. So then when he deals with beyond that, with the demigods and the demons, then you may see is that he's still working with his internal potency, but then that by the Lord's desire, the internal potency then will influence the external, which will then give those particular results. So time will follow. Time will follow that aspect. Right? Yes? No? Pretty good. When sattva becomes prominent, the Lord favors the devatas and sages. When rajas becomes prominent, he favors the demons. When tamas becomes prominent, he favors the yakshas and rakshasas. The Lord acts in such a way that time follows his order. Right? So basically what he wants to happen, that mode then becomes prominent. So when you say, so when rajas becomes prominent means he's favoring the demons. Right, he's favoring the demons, therefore Rajas becomes, he's favoring the demigods, therefore it's like this. But because it's his pastimes, then it will come out as if he's following the ones that's going on. You know, because that's for him is fun. It's his energies and how they're unfolding and how they're doing. Then it becomes very nice. It's not a problem. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say the friend says, hey, close your eyes, or, you know, come with me, this and that. So it's fun. You know, like that. But it's based around themselves, right? Does that make sense? It's based on the friend is doing something that will please you. So, yeah. Once, oh, okay. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to anyone. The conditioned soul is under the influence of the various modes of material nature. And behind material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But once victory and loss under the influence of Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, Tamaguna are reactions of these modes, not of the Supreme Lord, partiality. According to the statement of the Bhagavat Sandarbha, the Supreme Lord, being always transcendental to the material qualities, is never affected by the influence of these qualities. The same characteristic is also present in the living being. But because he is conditioned by material nature, even the pleasure potency of the Lord is manifest in the conditioned soul as troublesome. Right? Because the pleasure potency then manifested on the conditioned soul in the neutral state, then means it's going to be that of being able to perceive, you know, transcendence, you know, that happiness is there. But in the conditioned state, it's going to be the happiness and distress of material results. For instance, we have seen that in the two great wars, which were conducted by the Rajaguna and Tamaguna, both parties were actually ruined. You know, that's the fun part. You have the war. They think they're going to end up and be happy. But no, the war destroys both sides. The German people declared war against the English to ruin them, but the result that both parties were ruined. Although the Allies were apparently victorious, at least on paper, actually neither of them were victorious. Therefore, it should be concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to anyone. Everyone works under the influence of various modes of material nature. And when the various modes are prominent, the demigods or demons appear victorious under the influence of these modes. Everyone enjoys the fruits of his qualitative activities. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14, 11, 13. The manifestations of the modes of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. O chief of the Bharatas, when there's an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, uncontrollable desire, hankering, and intense endeavor develop. O son of Kunti, when there's an increase in the mode of ignorance, madness, illusion, inertia, and darkness are manifested. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart, simply gives the results of the increase in the various qualities, but he is impartial. He supervises victory and loss, but he does not take part in them. The various modes of material nature do not work all at once. The interaction of these modes are exactly like seasonal changes. Sometimes there's an increment of Rajagun, sometimes of Tamagun, and sometimes Sattvagun. Generally, the demigods are surcharged with Sattvagun, and therefore, when the demons and demigods fight, the demons are victorious because of the prominence of their Sattvagun qualities. However, this is not the partiality of the Supreme Lord, right? That's their endeavor. They've worked, they've acted in this way, so now they become demigods. And the people who are demons, they acted in a different way, so they get a different result. Yeah. Okay. When Sattva conquers the other gunas, the Lord favors the devatas and sages. The Lord spreads his power covered by Sattva through their bodies. By this, he helps them. And when Rajagun becomes prominent, he spreads his power covered by Rajas to the demons. When Tamas becomes prominent, he spreads his power covered by Tamas to the Yakshas and Rakshasas. These details should be added. By Tamas, he makes the Yakshas opponents and arranges for defeat of the Devatas. In this way, he reveals himself. This illustrates the fact that he arranges defeat and victory. Badhya Bhadakatam Badha Katam, for his variegated pastimes to nourish Bhakti Rasa. Because all these things as they go, it's all to nourish the devotional mood in the devotees. By them hearing the pastimes and all that, they become inspired, they become absorbed, all these different things. In churning the milk ocean, it is said, thereafter, Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion. He entered the devatas as the quality of goodness and entered Vasuki as the quality of ignorance to stimulate and increase their strength and courage. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.7.11. Right? So the demigods, and they're performing, you know, an activity that should be performed, you know, on for the benefit, for the result being for the pleasure of the Lord. And that's the motive, you know, so they're taking that mode of goodness, though it's, you know, it's their duties. Then the demons, then they want a particular result. And then Vasuki, the ignorance, then he can be more absorbed in how strong he is and how, you know, so he can do his duty very nicely. So this way, each one of them is inspired. Right? The verse states that the Lord entered the various parties in order to create variegated pastimes. Shamsaya. The independence of his pastimes will be destroyed since the pastimes are controlled by time, which awakens the various gunas. There will clearly be something inappropriate in the Lord by his relating directly with the gunas. Uttara. In answer to this, it is said in the verse that the Lord is one whom time follows. Tat kalanu gunaha. This is a compound like Bhagavat Charana. He whom the Lord shelters. And the Lord plays by his independent will. Maya, which is obedient to him, stimulates all actions of the universe, which are a continuous flow obedient to her. Right? So in other words, the modes of nature are obedient to Maya. Maya is obedient to Krishna. And when and then time, which takes the different gunas, which makes the different gunas arise, is made to operate by her special function. Thus, time is dependent on the Lord. That time is a function of Maya, is explained. Right? So on the past, present, future, that's a feature of Maya. Right? Eternal time, that's a feature of the internal potency. Time, the agitator, fate, action or cause, the conditioned jiva, impressions, the sense objects, the prakriti, mahatattva, false ego, the 11 senses and 5 gross elements. The body, all this constitutes your material energy. Maya, an endless cycle like that of seed and plant. I take shelter of you in the negation of this Maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:63-26, right? So you mentioned here the time. So time is the agitator. Time is what makes things happen. So the time moves, and so then you're agitated by goodness, passion, or ignorance. So, because time is there, you want to do your duties. Time is there, you want to endeavor for sense gratification. Time is there, you want to take a nap. Right? Tat kalanu gunaha has another meaning. The Lord possesses time, which is his quality of power, prabhavam, for his independent actions, for giving mercy to the devotees. According to this quality of his, things are enacted by Maya, it is said. O inaugurator of the material energy. Time, which starts with second and ends with years, which rotate to make the lifetime of Brahma, and by which the universe moves, is said to be your movement. I surrender to the Supreme Lord, the abode of fearlessness and happiness. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.26. Thus, it should follow that the Lord's pastimes are not controlled by time, by either meaning of tat kalanu gunaha. Okay, so I think we'll stop here because then it goes into another point. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.